in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 11, through and including 22. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, "I've heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be here, be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully, as David your father did, and do all that I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne, as I covenanted with David your father when I said, 'You shall never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel.' But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. I will make it a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and say, 'Why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple?' People will answer, 'Because they've forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. And that is why he brought all this disaster on them.'" Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the beauty of this day, for the gift of life. And God, we thank you so much for your spirit that leads us day by day. As we look at this scripture, we recognize that you are a powerful, sovereign God, and you will ultimately have your way. Your desire is that we walk with you, that we enjoy your good gifts, that we accompany you in all that you're going to say and do. Lord, we lift up this list of prayer requests to you tonight. We haven't informed you. So, Lord, together we now lift up the request and say we're wanting you to have your will on earth as it is in heaven. God, could we ask you to please be with men tonight? Remove anything that would be a hindrance or an obstacle, and let him have a sense of a free communication with you as you speak your message to us through him. Take all the honor and the glory and praise for yourself. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, I kind of stand here with fear and trembling, not just because I'm no preacher, but because I'm obedient to ask to doing what the Lord has asked me to do, and I just want to make sure that you understand and I understand that I'm asking God that His words will be what y'all hear tonight. You don't need my wisdom. Nobody needs that. Yeah, that will really screw you up really bad, worse off than you really are. I was asked by Dee if I would come and speak, and she says, and I said, I know exactly what I'm going to say, because the Lord has been working on this in my little pea brain. I have two cells up there, and every once in a while there's some zapping that goes back and forth in between them, and I get quite excited when a thought actually forms. And this particular thought, I know wasn't me, because it was really deep and makes a lot of sense, and I don't come up with that kind of stuff. I want to take you back to, I believe it was about a third of the way into year two of COVID. And this is not being a political thing here in any way, shape, or form, but I want you to realize that God is big enough that he works through disaster. like the girls, you know, that was those girls that DK was talking about. That was my nieces. And I don't know if you can say, of course, this isn't Sunday, so I can say this, right? but it really felt, when all of that had happened, it really felt like 14 big trucks, rock trucks full of crap, had backed up and dumped on our family. That's what it felt like. Because to lose 3 out of 4 kids of a family, and I'm just the uncle, like that quick, was just like nasty. And through things happening, we saw God in some very cool ways. And it's like, okay, what was meant for evil, the crap pile, as it was a big one, is all full of flowers. Because mushrooms grow on that stuff, and so does flowers. And anyway, that had nothing to do with what I was going to say, but it's DK's fault because he brought it up. But it was a similar kind of a thing that was going in my brain. I woke up 3 a.m, and I was angry. And I don't get that kind of angry, but I felt like I was in an uncontrollable rage. And I knew, and that's what had woke me up. And so I started talking to God, because that's the only thing I know what to do in something like that. And I felt like I was just laying there having a conversation with him. I said, God, I'm PO'd. And he says, who are you angry at? I says, well, I was angry at the WEF for bringing ideas out and pushing, you know, the kind of stuff that they're trying to push. I was angry at the governments for swallowing that and pushing more stuff. I was angry at my fellow human beings and Canadian citizens for sucking it up. And I mean, I don't know what side you were on, but that was the side I was on. And I was angry. And because what I was seeing was the enemy's MO. What is that? 3 points. Steal, kill, and destroy. And God is all about community. That's what we're having here tonight. There's a bunch of us that probably have 14 billion different points of view on things, but you know what? Here we are, because we're gathered together with a common interest and a common belief. So anyway, and then I said, okay, God, I have to be honest. I'm really mad at you, because you ain't stopping this. And where my brain was thinking was, here's a bunch of stuff that is totally against God's MO. He's all about life. He's all about hope. He's all about love and prosperity. Like, I don't mean we're supposed to be rich, but all through Scripture, he's talking about being healthy and well, and we're talking about mind and spirit. I think I'm stumbling on that one, but I'm hoping you know what I'm saying. And I said, but what I'm watching going throughout the entire world is people getting mad at each other. I'm seeing families ripped apart. I'm seeing all of this stuff. And yet you're not doing anything about it. What's up with that? And he says, well, have you read the last book? And I hate it when he's right. And I said, well, yeah, but I was just kind of hoping that wasn't going to be happening on my watch. And he said, well, that's a little selfish, ain't it? I says, okay, here's my problem, God. I says, I know the only thing I can do is pray. I can join this group, I can join that group, I can do, but nothing's going to happen. It doesn't matter who in the world is in power. Garbage is going to happen when people's hearts aren't lined up with you. So really, you're my only source of hope here. But what I'm having a problem with, if you're saying, okay, there's going to be a one world government eventually, because that's going to happen at the end, and that's what the WEF is loving to do. And I'm thinking, so how can I pray when I know this garbage is going to happen? Are you sensing where I'm at? How can I pray in your will knowing all of this? And he says, oh, that's easy. I says, well, tell me. And I know it was him, folks, because this came to me so quick. In fact, that whole conversation that's taken me too long to describe already, it seemed to happen in just the flash of the wink of an eye. And this threefold thing came to me, and I got so excited about it that I actually, all that rage left, and I slept like a baby till 9 the next morning. And he says, if you want to pray in God's will, he says, pray that the lies will be exposed. I thought, oh, I can do that. I don't have to take all of that on myself. I can just say, okay, God, expose the lies, whatever they are, wherever they are. And I know that's always going to be in your will. And he says, oh, but there's more. He says, pray that my truth will be revealed. You go out in the garden and there's this big old weed. You pull that up, it's going to leave a hole. That hole has to be filled with something. That weed is whatever the lie is that I've prayed will be exposed. That gets pulled out, there's a divot. God says, I want to fill that with my truth. The truth will take place of that lie. And then he said, the third thing he says, pray for your people. And that's when this verse that everybody knows so well, he reminded me of that. And it was like all the lights came on in my brain. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's our job. He says, I'll do some stuff. I'll hear, I'll forgive. And when he said, I'll heal their land, I blew up because I realized that was what my heart cry. That was the bottom line. God, my land is broke. My people are broke. And I've never seen society. Usually when we was kids, remember when something would kind of introduce itself into society, it would take a long old slope, and maybe after two generations it was acceptable. I've seen stuff happen so fast that it takes three of us to watch it go by. I mean, people aren't going down like this, they're just going straight down. It's like the lemons jumping off of the cliff. And we are hurting. And so I wanted to really quick open that up and kind of unpack that for you. And again, number one, he said, pray that the lies will be exposed. Number two, pray that my truth will be revealed. And number three, pray for, and I love that. So I started looking into this scripture and trying to unpack it. God wants relationship with us. If my people, okay, and if that isn't clear enough, he says, who are called by my name. He's given us his name. Have you actually let that sink in to your heart ever? We're sitting here with all the stuff that we're packing, all the stuff we brought tonight, all the things that are in our mind and in our heart that are making us sound like our belly is ready for diarrhea or something. It's just, and that's our life. Sorry, that's just how I saw it. But he didn't say, when your nation turns to me, I will do this. I thought that for all my life. I thought that's what it meant. I thought that's just a cruel verse. Just a carrot on a stick out there. Well, if your whole country will turn to me, then I'll... No, it says you and me. If my people who are called by my name... And he didn't say, when you get it together and get everything right. This isn't about performance. This is identity. And it blew me away because I did not realize that the weight of change is on our shoulders as believers. Because when you think that through a little bit, if I get my life right and I have influence on all the people around me, maybe it's one person, maybe it's three people, maybe you're a leader and you have more influence, it's gonna reach out. Because I mean, we pray in his name, right? We prayed in his name tonight. We read in the scripture, the dedication of the temple was a context with this verse. And he says, I'm doing this for my name. And it's his name that brings the change. When I was born, I was given a name. And that was not just so that my mother could call me when something went wrong. And she needed somebody to blame. But it gave me identity. I'm a crane. My daddy was a crane. His daddy was a crane. This is an identity. This is who I am. I belong to this family. And this family has characteristics. That's who I am. We belong to a family that's been around for a long time. And actually has the only perfect daddy there ever was. We belong. He's given us his name. So if we, number one, humble ourselves, what does that mean? That ain't no room for pride, folks. And I struggle with that because I'm human. There's self-sufficiency, there's arrogance. There ain't no room for that in God's family at all. Humility is putting aside my intentions and my plans